A couple of weeks ago, I heard about a Saudi Arabian ambassador to the United States who raced his Ferrari through Beverly Hills. And when the police arrested him, he basically claimed immunity because he was an ambassador. This morning, we're going to look at Jesus Christ sending out 12 disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God. These 12 represent all of us who name the name of Jesus and follow Christ. We are the King's ambassadors. We are the representatives of Jesus Christ in the world we live in. And every ambassador, like the Saudi Arabia ambassador, has special privileges and responsibilities, unique to our ambassadorship. And so this morning I want to outline from our text in Luke chapter 9 the special privileges and responsibilities you and I have as followers of Jesus Christ, His ambassadors to this world. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. The scripture says that Jesus called the 12 together, and He gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And Jesus said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not even take 2 tunics apiece. Whatever house that you enter, stay there until you leave the city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." Departing, the 12 began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now take a look again at the first 2 verses of Luke 9. The Bible tells us that when Jesus had called the 12 together, He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. I have a question for you. Who are the 12? Now, if you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you become a believer, a Christian. I hope you don't ever make the mistake that following Jesus is serendipitous or childish or puerile. There are many who think being a Christian is something simple. You ask Jesus into your heart, and everything's just fine. And they never really think about how they're living, what they're doing, what their purpose in life is. Don't be like one of those Christians. I want you to think. The Bible is not a simple book, but it is extremely profound. It is the Word of God, and it's written for our instruction. When Jesus sends out the 12, who are they? And why just 12? They were men. Why not women? Later on, we'll see that there were many men and women who followed Christ. For example, in the upper room, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, those who followed Him of both genders received the gift of the Holy Spirit within them. You and I are followers of Christ. We have the Spirit of God within us as well. But who are these original 12? Well, Matthew names them. They are the 12 original apostles or disciples of Jesus Christ. They were the first ones. 2 of them were brothers, Simon, Peter, and Andrew. And then there was another couplet of brothers, James and John. Then there was Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, a tax collector by the name of Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, to distinguish him from the first James, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and of course, Judas. These are the first 12 people to follow Jesus Christ. Now, why just the 12? I mean, why not 14? Why not 20? Why not 30? Why did Jesus choose 12? And why did he choose 12 men? Again, it grew in time to encompass several hundred people here this morning, men and women who follow Christ. But why just the 12 in the beginning? For a very specific reason. Anytime you open up the Bible, maybe it's the Bible that you carry. Maybe you're in a hotel room and you pull out a Gideon's Bible and you open up and read it. Every Bible you ever hold in your hand is divided into two segments. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Now the word testament is a big fancy word. We don't use it very often today. In the first service this morning, I was visiting with a gentleman who's getting up in age. His name is John, and he was telling me that he has just filled out his last will and testament. What does testament mean? It simply means agreement. When you fill out your last will and testament, you're making an agreement with the state regarding your assets. And the courts, the state, will divide your assets according to the agreement that you sign with them. And if you die without a last will and agreement, then the state will determine what is to be done. So I would encourage all of you to make your wishes known in a last will and testament. Another word for testament is the word covenant. Again, it's a big fancy word. We don't use it very often. Now, if you ever buy a house and you sign a deed, often there will be neighborhood covenants in that deed. An agreement that you're to make sure if you ever remodel, you use brick, or you make sure that no shrubs will extend out from the edge of your house to block your neighbor's view. A covenant is another word for agreement. So, your Bible is broken into two testaments, two covenants. Two agreements between God and man. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you read the old agreement and you seek to live by that old agreement, what you know is the Old Testament, your mind's going to be messed up. Now, the new agreement in the Old Testament is foreshadowed and seen and prophesied. The prophets of Israel in the Old Testament, they would talk about a new agreement that was coming, like Jeremiah 31 or the Psalms. But the old agreement was between God and the nation of Israel. And let me show you the difference between the old agreement and the new agreement that you and I are under. Are you ready? In the old agreement, Moses was the lawgiver. You remember he stood on the mountain and received the law of the old agreement from God, and then he read it to the people. You can read of this in the book of Exodus and also in Deuteronomy, the book of the law. And these laws were very specific. They pertained to every facet of life to the nation of Israel. And when Moses read the law of the old agreement between God and the nation of Israel, all the Jews stood around and said, "Oh, we have heard the law, and all this we will do." But when you read the scriptures of the old agreement, you find that it's nothing but a history of failure. Israel failed to obey the law. Now, in the new agreement, the one inaugurated by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, it's called the kingdom. In the new agreement, there's only one law. He's the lawgiver, the Lord Jesus, and he gives us one law, just one. John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the only law you're under. You say, whoa. Are you kidding me? Wait, what about thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie? What about that law in the old agreement? Am I not under that? I ask you a question. How in the world can you love your wife and commit adultery? How can you love your neighbor and steal his lawnmower? How can you love somebody and murder them? Let's not even talk about hate. Jesus says if you hate in your heart, you've already committed murder. How can you love someone and hate them? You can't. That's the law that you and I are under. It's the distinguishing mark of followers of the new agreement, those who are ambassadors of the King of Kings, who represent Jesus Christ in this world. It's the law of love, the royal law. Now, in the old agreement, the promises of God were always conditional. For example, God said to Israel in the law, if you do this, then I will bless you. But if you don't, then I'll bring in foreign nations and they will take captive your people. They will destroy your land, your homes, your crops. And again, that's the narrative of the Old Testament. The Assyrians came because of Israel's disobedience and basically took the 10 northern tribes into captivity. And in 586 BC, the Babylonians took the 2 southern tribes into captivity and destroyed the temple. The old agreement between God and the nation of Israel was quid pro quo. If you, God says, then I'll do this for you if you do this. If my people, for example, God says, will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and give to them what they need. However, Jesus came to inaugurate a new agreement. And all the promises of God are yes in Christ. You do not receive the promises of God because of your obedience to God. You receive all of the promises of God because of Christ's obedience for you in fulfilling the law, bearing your sin at Calvary. And now, because of your faith, listen to this, your faith in Jesus Christ, all the promises of God are yes in Christ. That's wild. This is why, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I love the Old Testament. I love the Old Agreement. In fact, my favorite Bible studies, I teach on Wednesday night. I go an hour long. We take questions afterward. We studied Daniel. We have studied Esther. We have studied Ezra. We have looked at the Old Agreement scriptures. And I'm thrilled by them because you see Jesus in them. Everything in the Old Covenant narrative foreshadows Jesus Christ and what he does for us. But if you read the old agreement and you think to yourself, okay, I'm going to do this, going to do this, going to do this, and then God will do this for me, and then God will do this, and so on and so on and so on, you will be screwed up in the head because you have missed out on the joy and the pleasure of coming to faith in Christ and realizing all of the promises of God are yours. They're yes in Christ. And you should listen to Jesus Christ. We see that this is exactly what God told the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. Dr. Luke narrates it incredibly. We'll look at it in a couple of weeks. But the disciples were all fascinated with the old agreement. They were all Jews, and of course they would be. You can't blame them. And so when they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is with them, and all of a sudden Moses, the lawgiver, appears, and then Elijah, the greatest prophet of the old agreement, appears, and the disciples are ecstatic. They say, Jesus, Master, let's build them some tents, let's make some supper, and let's sit down, and let's talk about the old agreement. And all of a sudden, the earth began to shake. Fog descended. The disciples were scared to death. They fell on their face. And when they dared look up, They only saw Jesus standing in their midst. Moses and Elijah were gone, and a voice boomed from heaven. "This is my beloved son, Akuete Aton. Hear him." You don't have to wonder why the world goes crazy over the name of Jesus Christ. The demons of hell will leave you alone if the King of Kings is not mentioned. Oh, but when Jesus' name is mentioned, all hell breaks loose. Because he is the inaugurator of a new agreement between God and man. And all the promises of God are yes in him. Now, I say all that to point out that when the old agreement began, there were 12 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. So when Jesus comes to inaugurate a new agreement, there are 12 apostles. That's why he started with 12. He is showing the Jews that the old agreement is about to pass away and that a new agreement is being launched. You say, why would the old agreement pass away? The writer of Hebrews tells us. Because Jesus fulfills the law and then abolishes it so that you, as ambassadors of the King, might come to understand the beauty and glory and pleasure of knowing Christ. It is all Christ alone. Come to him in faith. He's the fulfillment of all law. And when you begin to be captured by his love for you, you can't help but love other people in the same way. Wow, this is incredible. This is why Jesus started with the 12 disciples. Everything Jesus did was to show the difference and the similarities between the old agreement and the new agreement. For example, Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they went into the land of Canaan and received the promised blessings of God. Jesus wandered in the wilderness for 40 days before he went into his public ministry and died at Calvary, inheriting for us all the promises of God. Wow. Do you get this? That's why there were the 12. In the old agreement, God sent storms to punish people. In the new agreement, Jesus invites us into the storm with him because something good's coming. If you grew up in a church that was all old agreement, and they would take you to the book of Ezekiel, and they would say, look what the Jews did. Look what they did. They disobeyed God, and here comes the Babylonians. And look at Jeremiah the prophet. His eyes were poked out, and he was put in bonds, and he was taken into captivity because, oh, the people of God were wicked and rebellious. Oh, then obviously you grew up in a church like that. You were scared to death of God. Oh, but when you begin to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, you grow up in a gospel church, then what happens is you begin to see that Jesus inaugurated a new agreement. And instead of sending storms to punish you, no, every storm that you enter, Jesus is inviting you into the boat with him to go to the other side. So whatever storm you're in right now, the good news for you as a follower of Jesus Christ is that he's taken you by the hand into the storm and said, let's go. Now, if you don't know Christ, these promises aren't yours. You're not an ambassador yet. Lord willing, you'll come to an understanding of the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ. But these are the differences. Finally, in the old agreement, Israel inherited the land of Canaan. What happens in the new agreement? You inherit the earth. Israel inherited the land of Canaan because of their obedience to the law, and they lost the land of Canaan because of their disobedience to the law. You inherit the earth because of Christ's obedience and your faith in him. This is why your death is not the end. And if you understand the good news of the gospel, you can be like those kids in Oregon this week when the shooter came in. You heard about that? And he had his guns, and he asked the kids to stand, and he asked them the question, are you a Christian? And I guess 9 of them said yes. Yes, I'm a Christian. Now, think about this. The first person who said yes was shot in the head and killed. They were all in the same classroom. 6 or 7 came after. How could they say yes? Because they knew that this life is not all there is. In the new agreement, you inherit the earth. There's coming a day when every person will hear the voice of Christ from the tombs. And we will be raised from the dead. And those who have embraced Christ by faith will live for eternity. It's called everlasting life. And you'll be living on the earth where the curse has been reversed. The home that Jesus has built for you without human hands will descend. I cannot imagine relating to people for eternity without dysfunction. I can't imagine that. Without jealousy, without envy, without pride. I can't imagine how to live like that. I can't even fathom it. It's one of the reasons the Bible tells us, eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart or mind of any person what God has prepared for those who love Him. You love Jesus Christ. This life is only a blink. Eternity is forever. Those kids could say, yes, I'm a Christian, even though they knew they'd be shot in the head, because they were ambassadors of the King of Kings, and they knew what was coming. Now, believe it or not, Christ's kingdom gets bigger like leaven expands and like a seed turns into a tree. This is what Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Please, don't enter into those times of depression like many when they watch the news or read the newspaper and they think the world is going to hell in the handbasket and that Jesus Christ is not winning. Are you kidding me? Jesus is going to win. In fact, if you look at China, do you know how many followers of Jesus Christ there are today? 300 million. They call it the underground church. More believers in Christ in China than there are people in America. Oh yes, America's struggling right now. You know what's happening in Africa? People are coming to faith in Christ right and left. Yakuba is telling us even in Niger, people are seeing visions of Christ and they are coming to faith in Christ. Muslims, radical Muslims, are converting to faith in Jesus Christ and they're beginning to love their brothers rather than kill their brothers. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, the new agreement, is like a little leaven and a loaf of bread. Over time it will expand. Why do you think you're here today? Is it an accident? Of course not. Jesus planted the seed, the original 12, and it's grown into a tree. And it's going to continue to grow until Jesus comes. But I want to spend the last 4 or 5 minutes encouraging you with 3 truths about being an ambassador for Christ. Number one, we've been given by Christ some remarkable authority. It's found there in verse 1. When He sent His disciples out, He gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. That's some pretty incredible authority. But let me remind you of something. Contrary to what you might watch on TBN or the Praise the Lord Network or other television networks like this, our brothers and sisters in Christ, I know they love the Lord Jesus, but they are deceiving us. No human being has inherent authority. No pastor, no televangelist, nobody's got authority in and of themselves. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has it all. And it's not just authority in heaven, it's authority on earth. No shooter walks into a classroom except that somehow, some way, Jesus Christ is in authority and power. No war ever begins, whether it's Israel dropping 12,000 two-ton bombs. No war ever begins, but Jesus Christ has all authority and power. There is a war going on behind the scenes, but the good news is the King of Kings wins. When you go out and you serve as an ambassador of Jesus Christ at your place of employment or in your family, don't go with timidity. Don't go with fear. Jesus has won the war. You are His ambassador. Go out with full confidence that all authority and power is His and He's sending you. Second, we've been challenged by Christ in this text to have a sense of trust and confidence in His provision. Again, look what Jesus said when He sent the 12 out. He said, take nothing for the journey. Don't take any bread, any bag, no staff, no money, not even an extra tunic or shirt. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus is condemning money. Not at all. Money can be used for all kinds of kingdom work. I think what Jesus is simply saying is this: don't sweat the details of your finances. Don't sweat it. In fact, when he inaugurated the new agreement, you remember what he said in Matthew chapter 6? He said to his disciples, look at the birds. They don't sow nor reap nor store. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them daily. How much more important and valuable are you than those birds? You remember the Lord's Prayer in this new agreement he inaugurated, and he taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So many of us are concerned about our retirement accounts that we've lost sight of the kingdom. Jesus said, when you go out and you serve as an ambassador of the King of Kings, his ambassador, don't worry about tomorrow. We had one of our greeters in the early service who's lost her job. And we've been praying that the Lord will give her a job. She wants a job now. You know what I told her this morning? You will receive a job the very day you need a job. Because the Bible says that our God will supply our every need according to his riches in Jesus Christ. This is a promise, and all the promises of God are yes in Christ. You see, there's a difference between wants and needs. You will never go without as an ambassador of Christ. Don't worry about your tunic. Don't worry about your bread. Don't worry about anything. Jesus will give you what you need. Just go. Go serve, love. But I close by showing you this. We've been told by Christ in this passage to always be mindful of the kingdom and your allegiance to it. You're part of a new agreement. Be mindful of who you are in Christ. Embrace it, enjoy it, love it, live it. And this is what he meant when he said, listen, when you go into a city, people receive you into their home. You stay there until you leave. But if they will not receive you, shake the dust off your feet and go. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the old agreement, in ancient days, when the Jews were traveling from a pagan land into their homeland, the land of Israel, they would walk along the dusty roads and they would find that dirt and dust would gather on their feet. And when they would come to the border of Canaan, the promised land in the old agreement, they'd shake the dust off their feet and then they'd step into the Holy Land. You're to do the same thing in the new agreement. The only difference is you're inheriting the earth. So Jesus tells us, keep your minds, keep thinking about eternity, things above, things coming, not on things that are on this earth. So all that means is, if you talk to somebody about Jesus Christ and you tell them all the riches of God in Christ, you show them how your life is changing because of your faith in Christ, it's the gospel that changes us. It's the only thing that will change us from the inside out. We had a wife of one of our offenders Wednesday night with her three kids share with Rochelle and me. She said, man, I don't understand it. My husband's changing. We moved here to be with my husband. He's a different man. I don't get it. It used to be that I always worried about him on drugs and alcohol and what he'd be doing, and now he's changing. I'm not even sure I know how to live with him anymore because he's a different man. He's following Jesus. We laughed. That's good. When you begin to understand who you are in Christ and what you have in him, then you step out into this world. Jesus is simply saying, you represent me. You're my ambassador. And if people will not listen to your message, just go ahead and shake the dust off your feet. Because every place you walk is holy ground. We are the King's ambassadors. And just as Jesus sent the 12, He's sending you and me today. Let's pray.